you are invited to join the Fueled by Faith membership community. Inside this membership, you will have access to a Telegram text thread where you will find other female leaders that are getting filled by the Holy Spirit daily. You will also have access to our monthly virtual Zoom calls that are all about connection as well as getting the word and being connected to the women that are inside the community as well as the Lord and the Holy Spirit inside this membership. There's also a monthly meetup for those of you that are local to Wilmington, North Carolina. But don't let that hold you back. If you are not local to Wilmington, North Carolina, we are looking to grow the Fueled by Faith community within the next couple of years. Let me bring you into the global vision that is starting here with this Fueled by Faith community here in Wilmington, North Carolina. For those of you that are looking for community, that are looking for in-person meetups to meet other faith-based and driven women that are leaders inside your community, we are looking to expand in the next couple of years where you can have access to a Fueled by Faith community right in your backyard with ongoing chapters that continue to add and pop up. This is where we are headed in our vision, and we would love nothing more than to hear back from you if you're not local to Wilmington, North Carolina, if you would be interested in having this in your community, where that's located at, and giving you the blueprint of how we can get that started. If you want to join the membership or you're looking for more information on how to bring Fueled by Faith closer to you, just send us an email at info@sheassistyou.com or find us on Facebook inside our community and send us a message at the Fueled by Faith community page. Welcome to the Fueled by Faith podcast. I'm your host, Emily Vermeer. As a wife, mom, and business owner, I found myself stressed, anxious, bitter, and overwhelmed the majority of the time. Constantly taking care of everyone else, getting to my agenda, you know, the basics, food, water, working out, devotion, and quiet time. If I had the time, which either rarely happened or was just a check off the list, it was when I was searching for a community of women that I could invest in and get support from. God spoke through a friend of mine that this is something that I would create. So here we are, the Fueled by Faith podcast, giving female leaders like yourself a fill up so you can be encouraged, equipped, and empowered daily by plugging into the Lord and allowing Him to overflow in your life so then you can overflow into others, ultimately moving the needle forward for the kingdom of God. So sister, let's dive in. Hello, Fueled by Faith sisters. We are so excited to have you on. Today, we have a very special episode for you with one of my dear friends as a guest, Elizabeth Lacone. She is here with us today, and she is a multi-six-figure CEO, business and branding strategy coach, and the host of the Equipped Entrepreneur podcast, and one of my dear friends. And I'm so happy that she's here today and that you guys get to hear from her. Elizabeth, thanks so much for being on.
Oh, thank you so much, Emily. I'm so excited to be here today.
Look at us doing podcast things. Here we are. It's so awesome. It's so cool. I want you guys to just get a little insight of Elizabeth and I and kind of how we met and actually more than anything, how we have grown to be friends. We talk probably once a week or so and send a lot of voice messages back to each other, probably too many from me to Elizabeth. About life and what's going on. But we actually met in a network marketing company and we were not close to each other. I wasn't like a direct downline or anything, but I remember hearing her speak. And I felt like I related to her so much. She's very much laid back. And that was kind of odd in our group that we were kind of put in. There's a lot of bold people in that group. And while I felt like you were bold, Elizabeth, I also felt like you were very like behind the scenes, like not front facing. And I could relate to that because that was me too. And I just remember messaging her one day, probably a year or two in network marketing, and just being like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but God's telling me that you and I are going to be doing something. But there's going to be some sort of connection. Do you remember that?
I remember it. And it's such a God thing.
Yeah.
When I sit back and think about it, I'm just like, wow, God was working back then. And I didn't exactly see it. And I'm not sure if you knew what it was, but it's just such a cool story.
Yeah. I had no idea what he meant by that. I just knew that you were someone that I understood. And then I felt like you would understand me too. We have a lot of similarities in our personalities and just our thought processes. And he saw that before we even did. And I just remember and that was really bold for me to message you, because I saw you as like, you know, your bio. I saw you as this multi-six-figure CEO already. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm messaging this woman who is so successful. And what's really cool is now we're friends, and getting past that barrier of like, I guess I was already putting you on this pedestal of like untouchable. And I'm like, oh, we're friends now. Like, this is so cool.
So cool. I love it. I love it. Definitely not untouchable, but it's part of the story.
Yes, part of the story. You know, you have those people that you look up to and you're just like Tony Robbins, right? Like, wow, he's like way up there and doing all the things. And then you could, there's this reality in the work that you do in yourself of being like, you know what, actually I could be his friend. Like, we could get there at some point. You know what I mean? He's no different than us. He's started with where we are. But anyway, that's a little blip of a story of how Elizabeth and I met. And we've just grown together in our separate walks with entrepreneurship, with branching out and pivoting into new businesses and to new callings that both of us have felt the Lord calling us to do different things and just going for it. And it's really cool when you find your people that can relate to you on that aspect, because it is a roller coaster, and it's so helpful to have people like yourself, Elizabeth, in my corner. And I know you feel the same way, that when something's going on, or even celebrating the good, just checking in and be like, hey, this is happening, and people to celebrate and people to go through the muck as well. Don't you think?
Absolutely. You've been such an amazing part of this chapter of my journey. And I just love bouncing ideas back and forth and rooting each other on. And you've just been such a great cheerleader, but also a person of knowledge that I'm able to go to and just get not only advice, but you get it. You get this entire idea of pivoting and what it feels like. So I'm so grateful for you.
Well, thank you. I'm so grateful for you. Well, so we always start each episode with guests on a Fueled by Faith story that you have that you feel like the listeners could benefit from. So do you have a Fueled by Faith story or moment that you would mind sharing with us?
I do. And you know, I was sitting here thinking, even prior to this podcast, things just shifted in this moment. And all of a sudden I was like, you know what? It's really such an evolution of the past 6 years. And just to sum it up, because this could be its own like long podcast, and I can be lengthy, but I just feel called in the moment to say that, you know, I never really had a very strong relationship with the Lord until I hit very rock bottom several years ago. And, you know, it's interesting, Emily, hearing you say you were, you put me on a pedestal and used the word untouchable, which to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. But I know that we do that with people, but I know that there were people that saw me as that. And I created such a strange identity with relation to my success that it clouded everything else, including my faith, including my health, including my relationships. And, you know, I feel like so much of my Fueled by Faith story is really surrendering. And, you know, for so many years, I just ignored signs. I ignored physical signs. I ignored just these gut feelings like something was off. And we'll talk about that pivot in a little bit, I'm sure. But where the Lord really came into this is I had some really hard things happen to me. And I feel like sometimes it takes breaking us completely wide open to see God saying, I'm here and I'm right in front of you. And I've been here all along. I just had to get your attention. And now I flow through my days. And that was years ago after I lost my father. I lost my grandmother. I had a lot of stuff going on in my business and my health was declining. And so when I say rock bottom, that was rock bottom for me. And I just could not see how I was going to move forward. I had some really low times and he presented himself in a way to where I finally saw him. And it's so cool now moving forward to see how that has shaped this new season of my life after making that pivot. So much of that pivot was because of that eye-opening moment of, you don't have to live this way. You don't have to do all the hard work. You can hand it over. You don't have to have this level of anxiety. Give it over to me. I am here for you. And that surrender for me was really difficult to do. It wasn't an overnight thing because I'm a bit of a control freak and I didn't know how to surrender and say, okay, God, you know, this is what I'm dealing with here. But after time after time, it became easier. And so now I wake up and I go to bed every night and I'm just so much more aware of how God is working in my life, in my business, in my relationships, in my connections. And I look back and I'm like, how did I not see it? But I know that I had to go through what I went through in order to see how powerful he is in our lives and in my life and how it shaped my journey and my pivot. And it's just an extra layer of comfort and trust for me that I didn't have before. And so, you know, while I have been very successful, I am at a completely different level because I am now aware of how God can be a part of my business. And it just brings even a higher level of, quote, success for me.
That's so good. I love how you brought that up because I recently went through this as well on the expectations that other people have of me to have it all together. And when you were explaining of going, putting you on a pedestal, right? And people have these expectations that, okay, you are a six-figure income earner. You have it all together. It's almost as if people don't allow us to break. So when we do, there's also more immense pressure when we are breaking or behind the scenes don't want to uncover that we're breaking. Right? Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like I went through this week of finally my husband allowed me to break. He let me just let loose and say what I needed to say and let it go. And I was hanging on to it all week long. And when I broke, when I finally said, you know, I'm not perfect. I can't get it all together. I can't do all the things and have all of the balls up in the air and be expected to catch them. And when he said, just drop them. Just let them go. Just drop it. And then I realized that I'm not perfect And I would never call myself a perfectionist, but I do like to make sure that everything's done and people are expecting things from me. And to have that expectation met. But I realize I'm not perfect, but we belong to the one that is.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm with you on that. To your point of, you know, people saw me as a leader and I saw myself as one. And I almost feel like looking back, I had an example or I was taught or I leaned into the idea that in order to be in that kind of spotlight or in that kind of role, you have to have it together and you can't show when you break. And I didn't even break behind the screen or behind the team or behind the stage. And when I finally did, because it was just too much, I remember the moment that I broke, and I actually broke on a phone call with a teammate at the time. And I remember her saying, I had no idea you were going through all you were going. I would never have known. And that's the moment where I was like, it's time to be honest with not only with myself, but with others so that I can come down a little bit and be more not only relatable, but I can get a break because I needed a break.
Yeah. And how did that feel? Like I have had the pleasure to be a front row seat witness to all of this, and it has been nothing but beautiful. I might cry. Oh my goodness. To see your honesty and your authenticity, because people hide from it. And I love how you mentioned being honest with yourself first, because that's where a lot of people are missing the boat and missing being able to work on things and hitting rock bottom. We can't get out of rock bottom if we're not honest with how we've gotten there and how to get out of there. And we can't, if we're not honest with ourselves, then we're not being honest with everyone else, right? And that's one of my biggest pet peeves. And I think you know this, of when people say, oh, I'm good or I'm fine. When I'm like, no, let's be honest. Tell me how you really are. Because there's people like you and I that are here to help people. And you can't help people that don't let you know that they need help. But I just want to commend you on just breaking, allowing yourself to break, and then also being rigorously honest, not only with yourself, but with other people. So it can be that funnel effect, that domino effect for other people to see. And I'm sure you've heard people say, because you said this, or because you shared this, I was able to take care of this, right? I'm sure you've heard that.
I have, and I'm so glad, if anything, that it gives people permission to open up and be authentic. I mean, by no means do you have to share it all out into the open, but in those conversations, just saying, you know what? No, I am having a day, or I am having a rough season. And sometimes that's all you have to say, just being honest, because it gives yourself and your body so responds to that. But yeah, I took it more to social media because of my, I'm using air quotations, influence. I wanted to turn around and say, I'm not okay. And I'm willing and open to show you that, because more people need to be honest about this. And it did help a lot of people at least turn around and consider that for themselves and consider what it means to be a true leader. Because I was changing the definition. I had no choice.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. And look at what it has birthed. Oh my gosh. And I'm going to let Elizabeth share with you guys like what she's been on a mission doing. But I mean, can you say that without going through that you wouldn't be where you are doing what you're doing?
Oh, no way. Absolutely. I would be still on the same path of hustle and burnout. And who knows what my health would be like right now. Who knows what my faith would look like? It probably would not be where it is now, because I, like I said earlier, like I just, for me, I had to hit the really hard stuff and I had to go through it. And that doesn't mean that I went through it gracefully. I always say that there is that unconscious phase where your body's like screaming to you, or God is screaming to you, and you're just not conscious to it. I say that then there's the conscious of, you know it, but are you going to actually do something about it? And then there's the grief and the frustration and the stuckness. And I stayed in that for the longest time. I was so angry at things or people that got me to where I was, and, or, you know, a health condition that I was dealing with. And then ultimately this transformation evolution is where I'm at now. And I would not be here without all of those things. And I can see it now, but when you're going through it, it's so tough.
Yeah. I know we're going to talk about pivot, but just speaking to someone who may be listening right now that is in that season of rock bottom, maybe they haven't even heard from God yet on how to get out of this or acknowledging it. If any advice, what would you give to even your past self of being in that season?
I think I wish that looking back, either I would have known, or I would have listened, or someone would have told me it won't always be like this. I was in such a low at times that I felt like this is how it was going to feel forever. And that is really easy, especially if I have health issues, chronic issues. I had a lot of chronic health issues, but you know, some of the, just the personal or professional drama that was going on at the same time, it felt like it was always going to be that heavy. And I wish that I had known then that it won't, that it can't, you know, unless I just choose for it to, and I didn't want it to be that way. And so I would say for anyone who's in the heart of it, one is just to acknowledge that you're going through it for a reason. And I know that's such a cliche thing to say, but it's true. And it doesn't mean that you have to understand it or you have to like it. But if you just have the awareness that this is happening for me instead of to me, and it won't always be this way, whether, you know, in some capacity, it's going to grow, but you have to choose to do that. And so when I finally stopped trying to control every aspect of that situation and I just handed it over, the tears finally fell and it was cleansing. And I felt this release from my body, but also the release of the control that I finally believed that I could hand it over and it would be handled. It would be taken care of. And I don't know that I actually really believed that before. I had this element of, I have to make it happen. I have to make it go away. And it's just a trust factor of knowing that it will get better and to let go probably more than you already are.
Yes. And the true definition of faith is having immense confidence in the Lord. So that means all of your trust, 100% of your trust. And so if we say that we're surrendering, and because those are buzzwords too, you know, surrender, release, give it over, it looks like even changing your thought on a moment by moment basis, because if you're still thinking about it, or if you're still like, oh, well, I would have done it this way, or it should be this way, or anything that's questioning it, that's not 100% trust. And I know I've been in that season of surrender, but really I was still clenching onto things because I was conditioned for 30 years on doing it my way and doing it how I want it to be, or at least like having a say, right? And that's still a big deal. And so it's really easy for us to say the words. The work is 10 times harder. And true, or it can feel like that at times. I don't want to project that on anyone, but with true surrender, it's actually doing the work, right? It's like you got to actually do the things instead of just say it. And I would love for you to talk about that, Elizabeth, on like, what were you actually doing to surrender? What's like tangible things that you were thinking or thoughts that you were changing in that season?
Yeah. You know, I mentioned I sat in the stuckness for a really long time in the grief and the frustration. And so during that time, I wouldn't recommend anything. I'm not going to talk about that time because it was not forward movement. But I think everyone sometimes goes through that, sometimes longer than others. But when I really was aware and saying, okay, there's nothing else I can do. I have to surrender. Some of the things, very tangible things, I started working with a coach that could help me work through a lot of that frustration and stuckness and help me surrender. I didn't know how. And I know that sounds crazy, but I really did not know how. And so I had to humbly ask, how do I actually do this? What does that look like? What does that feel like? Tell me exactly what it looks like. And I remember having those conversations with you, Emily, of that's when I feel like we got really, really close, is during this time period. You know, another thing, I started practicing breath work. That helped the surrenders a lot in my body, of get so much stress and trauma out to where I had a body that was almost renewed in a way, because so much of that stuckness and grief and stress was finally moving its way out of my body. And it helped also calm my nervous system down. I started journaling and getting a lot clearer with my thoughts so that I could go back and look. And with the journaling, a lot of times they would come out as prayers. And I remember specifically, Emily, coming to you and being frustrated over something. And you said to me, have you boldly called that forth? And feeling like a rookie, I was like, Emily, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. You know, I'm not scared to ask, what does that mean exactly? And you said, ask God for what it is that you want, boldly call it forth. And I remember thinking, isn't that selfish? Can we do that? Can we do that? And you're like, yes, we can. So I did. And I got bolder with what it was that I desired. But at the same time of saying, if it's your will, if that is what you want, because that was the piece that I was always missing before, is this is what I want. I'm waiting. Where's it at? You know, I going through all of that, realizing you can pray boldly, you can ask for what you want, but with the caveat of, if this is what you want for me, and if not, could you just let me know in some way? Could you shift me over here or bring clarity? And so, you know, those are the specific things that I feel like helped me during that actual pivot of the surrender part of it.
Yeah, that's so helpful. And I love how you explained it, because we don't all know. We don't come out of the womb knowing all of this stuff. Some people are more educated in this or experienced in this than we are. I know 2 years ago, I wouldn't have even known to do that, nor was I even praying. So it's all like, I love how you said, I'm not afraid to ask. We should never be afraid of asking anybody anything, even God. He wants us to ask questions, and other people, we're doing them a disservice by not asking them questions on their expertise, because they have special gifts and talents that God has given them to bless us with. And so asking questions it's beautiful. And that's what we're here to do, and answering them. And I remember that conversation and I was like, yes, God is working. He's working so good. And he answered that bold prayer, just so everybody knows.
He did. The next day I sent her a message. I'm like, you're not going to believe it.
And I was like, yes, I do believe it for sure. because it's so, we overcomplicate a lot of things in life. And man, it makes it so much simpler when we know one who to go to ultimately, and that we can just be who we are. And he knows, he already knows the desires of our hearts. And if it is his will, he'll make it happen. And if it's not, he's not going to make it happen. It's as simple as that. But I want to go into more of the pivot that you had in coming out of this, you know, this place that you were in, but also your career. You had an established career and quite this expectation for that to be your thing. And you were feeling called to something more for a while. And I would love for you to share about that, because a lot of people that I've been having conversations with lately, and I'm feeling it for them. God's like surrounding me with people with major visions and major dreams and aspirations. And he doesn't just give that to us for us to do nothing with. So I would love for you to share of your pivot, and then we'll talk more about helping people through theirs.
Yeah. So if I look back, I think the start of my actual pivot began in 2019, which is 4 years ago at the time of recording this. But the symptoms in my body started even before then in 2016. But ultimately, I think the level of awareness that I finally had was in 2019. And I just remember after several years of a lot of stress and trauma of losing my father and my grandmother in the midst of a lot of professional turmoil, which turned into health issues. I had a lot of health issues. It wasn't until 2019 that I remember sitting and thinking, is this it? Is this how I'm supposed to feel? Which was really hard for me, because I actually left a corporate career to move into network marketing. I mean, that's all I did. I was in network marketing and I was a leader and I did well. But I kind of brushed it under the rug because I was thinking, well, but this is what I'm supposed to do. This is my dream job. I'm good at it. I get paid well to do it. And it just took a lot of years where I feel like God was like nudging me like, hey, 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 you know, and I didn't want to address it. You know, then 2020 hit. So there was plenty of other distractions. But ultimately, I just felt like I showed up with a smile on my face every day, that I was supposed to, because I was successful, I was supposed to do it. And because I was competent, that was what I was supposed to do the rest of my life. And it wasn't until 2021 that my body just broke. And I say that freely because it really felt like it broke, not only the chronic pain, but I went through a really low road of depression and anxiety, and it was really bad. I actually took an entire year off professionally, which was huge for me, but that was the final breaking point of God saying, it's time. You need to take care of you. Everyone's going to be fine. We're going to work on you this year. And that was 2021. And ultimately, it gave me a lot of time and space and permission. And I finally opened my ears up to realize I wasn't leaning into my gifts anymore. That, you know, network marketing was a beautiful vehicle for me to find skill sets and passions, one of which is coaching that I loved. But ultimately, I knew that I was going to have to pivot. And I spent that year trying to figure out, okay, what's it going to be? Because that was the biggest thing of, everybody knows me as this leader in network marketing who's been successful. And I branded myself that way. That is who I wanted everyone to know me as. And so not only was I going to pivot professionally, but I had to pivot in my identity. And that was the hardest part for me, was realizing that I was probably going to leave people behind, or they were going to leave me behind, because they only knew one version of me. And then the loneliness set in and the grief set in, because I was grieving a period of time that I was this person and that I was doing this thing, and I knew I wasn't supposed to stay there anymore. And it was so scary to shift and pivot, but I knew, and I know that was God saying, it's okay, I've got you, you're going to be fine, but it's time to pivot and it's time to move. And ultimately, finally decided to do that in fall of 2022. And so if you're doing the math, I mean, it really started in 2016, 2019, I started entertaining it. End of 2022 is when I finally did it. It was not overnight by any means with me. So, yes.
And I feel like that doesn't get enough credit of the timeline of things. We see what we want to see on social media, on the internet, like anything that we want to see, we can find it. We can find what we're looking for. But we don't see the behind the scenes of the actual reality of the timeline that has gotten you where you are today, and then ultimately where you're going. When I released the destination and just started being committed to the journey of where God was leading me to, that freed me up so much. Because I finally figured out that it's not going to be one thing for the rest of my life always. I am and you have probably seen this firsthand, Elizabeth, I am a professional pivoter. I feel like there's something always that's coming around or coming along that God has given me. And when we focus on the journey and we focus on our giftings that you talked about, and we just take that day by day, we hit the destinations along the way. But I love how you spoke about the timeline, that it didn't happen overnight, because that can be so misconceived, right?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. That goes with anything, success or with pivots or any journey. We all think that it's going to happen faster or it's happening faster with people, but we have no idea the true work is behind the scenes.
Exactly. And what we're going through, also what we're being called to, because someone could be being called to something different on a monthly basis or however, and we don't know what God is doing in their hearts. Right. And so just, giving grace in that. And I would love for you to talk about in your pivot season, when you knew, okay, like do you remember like the actual moment that you're like, okay, it's time. It's time to pivot. It's time to start this thing or have a conversation. Do you remember that?
I wish that I could say it was this exact moment, but the good thing about journaling, which I did during that season, is that I'm able to go back and I can kind of see when it clicked. I can kind of see when I decided not to do X, Y, and Z in my network marketing business. And writing, I remember writing saying, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. And I just, it's fun to go back and look at my journal and to see the evolution of the journey to where all of a sudden clarity hit.
Yes.
And I moved forward. That's the powerful thing about journaling.
What other advice would you have besides journaling for someone that may be seeking clarity in a season of pivoting?
Yeah. So this is one of my favorite topics, because I think a lot of times people don't know how to seek that clarity. And so, you know, I don't know what kind of pivot it is, but if it's anything similar to mine of just realizing that what you're currently doing, possibly professionally, is not fulfilling you, and you see yourself going in a different direction, it's really identifying what you love to do, what you see yourself doing, and how can you live into those gifts? The first thing is understanding what are your gifts? What are your skill sets that you're not only competent in, but it just fuels you. It's just a passion in you. I feel like sometimes, especially with with network marketing for me, I was competent in it. I was good at it, but it wasn't that, there wasn't that extra layer of, I can see myself doing this for the rest of my life. This just lights me up every single day. At a moment in time, that was the case. And so it's really spending the time, you know, figuring out what you love to do and how can you lean into that? And then ultimately, if you want, or if it's the right thing, how could you actually monetize that? How could you take those skills and turn it into something that you love and that you also get paid for? Because that's okay. You can monetize your gifts. And that's ultimately what I had to do, was really, and I love network marketing for that, because it showed me what I was good at, and it teaches you and it exposes you to so many things. And ultimately for me, it showed me you're really good at coaching. You're really good at strategy. You're really good at pulling things out of people, connecting the dots and helping them move. And that's kind of, you know, that is what I do now. But I would just say, you know, in order to get clear in that pivot of what you're supposed to do next, is to really identify what do you feel like you're being called to do, and lean in and listen to that. And sometimes that takes time. Sometimes that takes silence. You can't really force that. You can do some things like list out, what am I really good at? What do I love? You can do, you know, there's the, you know, different ways that you can do that exercises. And I talk about it all the time, but ultimately it's very personal. And I do believe you have to get quiet in order to hear that and listen. And then I think that clarity ultimately comes from God.
Absolutely. 100%. And I also wouldn't be afraid to ask him, ask God boldly, like we talked about earlier, reveal to me what I should be doing, where I should be pivoting. Is this where I should be going? And it's okay to get really specific. It's actually even better to get really specific and to ask him for a sign, have him to bring someone to you or say something that hits you, and believe that that is coming from him when you ask for it. I know that works for me, and we've talked about that before. But I would love for you to share, Elizabeth, just some tangible ways that you are fueled by faith daily that anchors you so you can show up and be the best version of yourself on a daily basis. What are some tangible things that maybe you can share with our listeners?
Yeah. So, you know how everyone has a word, well, not everybody, but a lot of people choose a word for the year. My word this year was abundance in so many different areas, but I always wake up and ask God how I can be shown, or I can lean into abundance. And it's not always easy, but I always ask for it. And I feel like, because I'm so disciplined in asking that every single day, Lord, I pray for abundance in my life, in my business, in my connections, in my income, that it's given me more trust and peace in the patience of waiting for it, because it's not all here yet. You know, it's abundance in my health for sure, and my happiness and my peace. But in some other areas of my business, I'm still in a waiting period, and I am leaning in and trusting every day that that abundance is coming, that it's coming every day. That is a simple but yet powerful thing that I do every day. And I think it's helped me with the patience and the trust during this period of truly launching a new business and starting in some ways with an entirely new network, with a new, an evolved identity.
Yeah, that's so great. And like journaling about that so you can reflect on the abundance that you have seen, so you can go back and keep track of everything that he's providing. That's a really great tool to use. I love it.
Yes, it works well for me. And, you know, hopefully maybe it gives someone an idea out there of just a simple thing of just asking for and praying for what it is that you need, you know, every single day.
Yeah, I love it. Okay. So to wrap things up, can you just let our listeners know where they can find you, where you're at, on social, all the things?
Yes, I'd love to. So As Emily said, I just launched a podcast. It's called The Equipped Entrepreneur. It is for female entrepreneurs who are looking for mindset, strategy, and just sisterhood real talk about the entrepreneurial journey. It's also a lot of the things that I've learned through the years. In addition to that, what I do is my pivot is I'm a business strategy coach. And so I'm working with people who have literally been going through my journey, you know, who are stuck, who are looking to pivot, who are looking to, you know, possibly monetize their gifts, and who just need help connecting the dots to get their amazing idea out into the world. That's what I love to do. It's what lights me up. And so you can also find me on Instagram at Elizabeth Lacone.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being on, Elizabeth. It was so much fun.
I loved it. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. You guys have an amazing day, and we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to the Fueled by Faith podcast. We would love it if you could go and leave us a 5-star review and how this podcast is impacting you. This will help us move the needle forward to get this podcast out to more and more communities, more and more women that need to be fueled by faith.